Welcome, everybody, to the Real Deal Podcast with me, Larry Lawton. We're going to have a lot of fun with this thing. And we're going to be talking about current events, hot topics that I think are real important. I think we're going to really enjoy doing this. I'm going to have great guests on this podcast. I'm going to have call-ins. We're going to do something different than most podcasts don't do. So we will have even call-in guests. So this is going to be a lot of fun. I've been thinking how to do this for a long time and do it right. So we're going to be posting every Monday and every Friday. And we will see about bringing that up more. They are the off days of when I post my videos, which are Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. So we do have the YouTube channel. Please check it out. Larry Lawton, Jewel Deef on YouTube. And we also now have the Real Deal Podcast with me, Larry Lawton. And the reason we named it The Real Deal, first of all, is, you know, everybody knows, I just tell it like it is. That comes that point in life when you just say, fuck it. You got to talk the way it is. You got to tell it like it is. And you got to bring up topics that people sometimes don't want to hear about. You know, my YouTube channel also talks about great stuff. I do movie reviews, gaming. I also do hot topics like bullying and stuff like that, and marijuana, and a lot of different stuff. Also have a Discord. Check that out, please. Just go to Larry Lawton, Jewel Deef, and there's a great Discord there. We have Patreon. We have all that kind of stuff. But I'm not going to get into all that. We're going to be talking today about a great topic. You know, this is one of my first podcasts. I've done the podcast before. We used to take our videos and put them up under a podcast. And a lot of people liked it. So a lot of people kept calling in and emailing saying, when are you going to post more? When are you going to do this? I decided to do an actual podcast, which is a lot of work. Everybody knows that. But, you know, I'm a workaholic as it is. And I figured I love it. I love communicating. I love talking to the audience we have. I think we have one of the greatest audiences around. I get such great emails. Yes, I get the assholes too. I get people say I'm just another motherfucking criminal and this. Listen, I can't change everybody's mind, nor do I wanna. I want everybody to make their own decisions on what they wanna do or what they wanna listen to or what they wanna hear. You know, a lot of people got interested in my YouTube channel when I started doing something no other YouTube done, and that is literally narrating his book for free, Gangster Redemption. I narrate it and it's in the whole playlist, and it is one of the most watched playlists on YouTube. It's just a great, great series. People get into it and it's a lot of chapters, and I took it because the book took 2 years to write. And the book is a real, real wild ride called Gangster Redemption. And it's my life as one of the biggest jewel robbers in the United States. How America's most notorious jewel robber got rich, got caught, and got his life back on track. So you can check that out anywhere. Go in any one of our videos below the in the description. You can get that. A lot of things. Or just go watch it. It's all free up there. And I talk about being tortured in prison. I talk about how fucked up the prison system is. I go on with other guests, and I've been on A&E and so many shows, CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, all of them. And matter of fact, I'll be on Vice TV here coming in September. A couple other shows are highlighting what I did or my past robberies. Listen, what I want to get into here first is I want to emphasize that I am not proud of the person I was back then. I am who I am. I can't change it. I can't go back and can't live in a depressed life and, you know, oh my God, I can't go out. I can't talk to people. I was a bad guy back then. We all did bad shit, and everybody is not perfect. I don't care who you are. The main things people who know about me and why it is the real deal is because I'm not prejudiced in any way. I don't judge people. I don't care if you got pink hair, glasses, fat, small, gay, straight, bi. I don't care. I think you got to live your life. And who am I to judge you? Or who should anybody be to judge you? And you know, if you're worried about what other people think, then you're not living your life. You're living their life. So live your life, whatever that life is. You live it, man. And you're loved. Trust me, you're loved by people and you are respected and you will find your niche in life. And you will enjoy a great life if you live like that. Stop worrying about everybody else. Just worry about yourself. And it's not being greedy. It's not being, oh, people say, oh, that's being greedy. You shouldn't do this. That's bullshit. That's total bullshit. You got to make yourself happy before you can make anybody else happy. So never forget that. And, you know, I want to emphasize all these things for this show because I'm learning a lot in life every day. And, you know, I'm not a young kid anymore, you know. And I tell people, listen, when I stop learning, I'm dead. And I do mean that. And I talk and people go, wow, you're always accessible. You go on your Discord, just talk to people. You do a lot of things. You know, as busy as I get, I understand why I like what I do. And I like what I do because of the people, because of the emails, because I know I help people, because I know I get an email from somebody who said, hey, Larry, man, you changed my life. You saved my life. And we're going to go into some of them. I'm going to even read some of them. But today, even, you know, you got to figure what you want to do. Well, first of all, in this podcast, I'm going to be talking about current events. I'm going to be talking about topics that I think we all want to know about. Like I read today that pot, yes, pot, marijuana, people who know me know I am a proponent of it. Anybody who argues with me about pot, my first talk with them is, well, then why do you like alcohol? Why is alcohol legal if pot isn't? Alcohol kills more people, causes more damage, messes with people's health more. So many more things with pot. With alcohol than pot. And that's been proven over time now. And pot is either medically or recreationally legal in 36 states. 36 states. We have 50 states and 36 of them. So there's only 14 states. I don't even know what they are. Don't have anything legal with marijuana. Obviously, I think it's going to be federally legal. I'm reading this right now on the internet on a story today that it's a 17 or it's a... It's a $17.6 billion industry. Think of what I just said. 17.6%. It's going to be a $41 billion industry by 2026. So it is going to go up, and it's going to go up drastically. And I'm happy about that. You know, I have a medical marijuana license. People who know me know that. And I couldn't do this podcast. Who knows what's going to happen? I'll try it. But I'm a proponent of it because I think people have to figure out their best ways to get healthy in their own way. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. I'm going to give you a personal story now. I have a very, very messed up back. I had multiple surgeries. I have 10 vertebrae fused. I have rods in my back. I have 5 vertebrae fused in my neck, 10 in my back, 15 vertebrae are fused. I was at a point where I had nerve damage down the legs. I couldn't walk almost. From an active guy, people don't know that. I'm still somewhat active. I was taking so much Oxycontin pills, and I never got high. You know, I love people. You know, I'm even Oxycontin. I'm a proponent for it. People are going to, what do you mean? Listen to me. Unless you had an injury like me and you understand how drugs work, then you're going to understand why I'm a proponent of it. You know, Oxycontin works. Don't let anybody kid you. Yes, do people abuse it? But they abuse everything from alcohol to everything. I don't care what it is. Gambling, this. People abuse so many things. Yes, they abused narcotics and pills, and it got out of hand, and doctors got stupid, and I'm blaming everybody. I don't blame the government. I don't blame companies. Listen, I took 180 milligrams of Oxycontin every day. Yes, every single day. People go, what the fuck? Yes, every day. Nobody, Not one of my friends, and I'll talk to people, and I'll have guests on and everything, and not one of them will ever say they saw me high because I didn't get high from them. I used them for what they were used for the pain. See, how pain works is this. When you have a broken arm, you have pain. You need some relief. So you take a pill. So when you take that pill, it works. The pill goes in your body. It searches out the nerve damage, the inflammation. It attacks it and it dulls it. It does not cure it, of course, or even eliminate it, but it helps. So now it worked. What happens is when people have no more pain, actual inflammation, actual nerve damage, that drug goes through their system and it can't find anything to attach to, and it goes to the endorphins in the brain. That's how athletes, that's how people get addicted. They need it, but they keep taking it after they don't need it because they're told by a doctor, hey, listen, make sure you finish this bottle. Well, that's bullshit with that medicine. I did it for 10 years. Never was high. I decided to say, I don't want to have a pain medication to function. I want something natural. I want to try something different. Had surgeries. I mean, I could get it tomorrow. If you saw my back, you'd say, holy fuck, Larry, how are you even functioning? And I decided to get off it. Now, I had many doctors, and you're going to hear from them, say, Larry, no way you could get off it. I mean, and not that it's bad, Larry, because we've never seen you high. You're using it right. You're not abusing it. You know, it's not like you're out fucking stealing for it. You didn't do anything. So they said, but you can't get off. You're physically addicted. And that is true. But I did get off. I am one of the strong-minded people. I do not take any Oxycontin pills now. Zero. Yes, I smoke pot. And the pot helps the nerves, helps a lot of other things. And I am going to have a pot doctor on this show. I'm going to have one of the leading pot doctors in the country on my show. And it will be pretty soon. We're going to talk about pot and why that is. Why Larry was able to get off Oxycontin pills. And why the government does need to take it away from a scheduled one narcotic. It's like methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin, pot in the same category. Are you fucking kidding me? That is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard. And it drives me nuts. I see it and it just makes me like, are you really fucking kidding me? But it is what it is. So what I decided to do was open people's eyes on pot, on other topics that people ask me about, even the coronavirus. You know, I was, I'm a big time free thinker, man. By political statue, I'll let it know now, I'm a libertarian. I'm the true guy who believes, get the fuck out of my way. Give me the right information. We need government. I'm not an anti-government guy, but I'm also, listen, what I do in my own house is my own business. I don't believe people should be coming in here, whether it's cops or governments or anybody, come and tell me what to do in my own house. Now, that goes for anything. Long as I'm not violating another person's rights or hurting somebody, doing something totally illegal, they should not bother me. If I want to smoke pot, do coke, do heroin, do whatever the fuck I want in my house, I should be allowed. I don't. Let me let you know that now. But I should be allowed. Now, if I commit a crime to get that drugs or something, I should be held accountable. Period. So I am for more accountability on the personal level. But get the fuck out of my life. Get the fuck out of my business. Let me help people. Let me do what I'm doing. Let me earn money. Let me make things, my own decisions, as long as I'm not infringing on other people. How I live my life, and people who know me, is I live my life by treating people the way I want to be treated. And that's it. People who know me, and I'm going to have them on this show, I'm going to tell you that. Larry just tells it like it is. And that's why I named this podcast The Real Deal. Because I'm going to tell it like it is. That's just what Larry is going to do, man. It's period. Larry's going to tell it like it is. Larry does it in his videos. Larry does it on TikTok. Larry does. Listen, people ask me, Larry, is it hard to do what you do and all that? I go, what do you mean by that? They go, is it hard? I go, what? Like what? Talking about my story, talking about robberies, talking about prison, talking about my views. And I tell them, no, it's not hard at all. And the reason it's not hard is because I don't have to fucking plan something. I do research on a movie. I do research on a topic. What I'm talking about is when I tell a story about prison, or I tell a story about a kid who got killed, or I tell a story about a robbery and the actual what happened in the robbery, or whatever it is. It's easy for me because I tell it like it is. I'm the real deal. I don't have to bullshit. I don't have to fucking add anything into it. My life has been fucking crazy as it is. People who know me know I lived a pretty crazy life. And no regrets. Now, a lot of people say, oh, don't you regret, like, you know, what you did in the mob life? Or don't you regret what you did when you robbed people? And it's a funny thing because it's not the word regret. Would I change things? Obviously. I don't want to have to live my life that I hurt people or I rob people and put fear in people. Although I didn't hurt anybody in a robbery, I put fear in them. So that is hurt. I made them feel very uncomfortable, made them maybe have bad dreams for a while. I don't know, a whole bunch of stuff. And I do feel for that. But, you know, regret is such a fucking negative emotion. You know, it's like hate. You know, people ask me, Larry, man, you must hate this. I try, and you'll hear me say things on this podcast. I try not to use the word hate. You know, the word hate to me is just such a negative connotations. I dislike a lot of things. I think things can be different. I think policies can be different. It's hard for me to hate. And you know, when I realized that was people who know me and know my story, but I'll give a little bit of a background. I was strapped down naked and beaten in prison. And a guard took his dick out and peed on my face, spit on me. Another guard spit on me. There was two of them. And it took me many, many, many years before I said I wouldn't kill those two people. And I mean that. Obviously now, I'm not a religious person, but I pray for them. And what people go, what do you mean? I go, listen, how sad is their life at home when they got to abuse a man who is at the worst part of his life? That is wild, man. That really is wild. And it's true, though. Do they go home after work and their wife beats them, or their wife fucking, you know, calls them a degenerate, or they got a fucked up family or whatever they got? Maybe they're an alcoholic. Maybe they're a drug addict. Maybe something is so fucked up in their life that they have to get joy out of abusing someone who's in the worst part of his life. And, you know, the more I think about that, the more I don't hate people. I feel for them. And I know people go, man, how can you fucking feel for the person that pissed on you and stuff? Trust me, I don't think I'd fucking lose any sleep if I find out the fuckers dropped dead. But I don't wish that on people. I don't. First of all, people also ask me about, but yeah, that's another thing. I ramble a lot. People who know me are going to love that. Just like getting back to that, you know, what I don't believe in the death penalty. And people go, why, man? What would you do if somebody raped and killed your daughter? Or, oh, my God, I don't even want to think about that. But I think they'd have a harder time in prison than they would by just getting the death penalty and going to death row. Death is inevitable. We're all going to die. It's just a matter of when. So I'm not so much on just getting that vengeance, that eye for an eye. I think they're going to live a worse life in prison. Look at Whitey Bulger. You know, people who know me also know that I don't believe in snitching. I don't believe in that informant shit. And that's just the way I am. It's not going to change. And let me explain that, because I heard it the other day. Joey Diaz was talking about it. And he's a street guy. And he has a podcast. You all probably know it. If you don't, you should check it out. And his podcast, he was talking about the street life and drug dealing and how things work. And he was spot on. And you just didn't tell. And I get that 100%. And I wouldn't either. I was offered to tell in my case, and I wouldn't do it. I had millions of dollars. I had fucking power. I had everything, my own limousine, horses, boats. houses, everything, cash. And I wouldn't tell. And I was offered 3 years, and I was facing life. And I was offered 3 years. I ended up getting four 12-year sentences run concurrently. Now, people go, what do you mean? I beat a gun charge. I called a 924C. I did the law for 10 years. I know more about the federal law than most people, of course, even lawyers. Had a judge friend of mine. I'll bring him on. He used to say, Larry, you know more about the federal law than all the lawyers that come in front of me. The federal law, I studied it. I lived it. I worked in libraries, law libraries. I fought the system. I understand BOP policies. We're going to get into all that on this show. So I think this show is going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be eye-opening. You're going to get my views. You're going to have call-ins. We're going to do so much on this show to make this show one of the best shows on podcasts. And it'll be another extension of my YouTube because I love YouTube. I love doing movie reviews, GTA, prison stories, cooking stuff. I was talking on people want to know more about my cooking videos. I have great videos. I think three are up already on my YouTube channel. And one of them got a million views or whatever. I don't even know what they get anymore. I just fucking put them up. We figure out how it goes. We have a great team. I have a great, and I'll mention my team, who is my manager, Peter, a childhood friend who to me is one of the dearest friends of my life. Smartest, one of the smartest men in business I know. Do we butt heads? All the time. But I respect his opinion. I respect his process and his work ethic and his, I can't even tell you, the guy is so smart. He ended up building a company, invented affiliate marketing pretty much. They owned a company called iTraffic. He sold it with two other buddies for $30 million. And Peter is just one of the great guys. His heart and his soul is pure. He's a Buddhist, and I've learned a lot about Buddhism. And I believe a lot of it, too. That's one of the things that he got me looking at and inadvertently gets me looking at. But I love him. Peter's just an amazing guy, and he's so structured, and he helps. Does he get, you know, sometimes drive me nuts? Yes, of course he does. If he didn't, I wouldn't want him around. Peter is just that good, and I just want to say that right off the bat. My other team members, I'll just go over pretty quickly. Darian, my editor. He's my editor and graphic designer and does our merch and does the videos and he'll put this up, of course. Although, just to let you know, these are not getting edited, not getting blocked. It is what the fuck it is. Whether my mom comes through that door, because I take care of my mom, I built a studio in my house, a nice studio, and you guys see it on YouTube. And so I built a studio in my house, and I take care of my 88-year-old mom. In fact, she's got COVID right now, so I'm watching her very closely. She is vaccinated, and we're going to get into that in a little bit too. But I do take care of my mom, so I'm not cutting this thing. It is what it is. People come through the door. Whatever happens, happens. This show is going to be the real deal, and that's why it's named The Real Deal. You're going to see it uncut, unvarnished, just Larry being Larry and opening people's eyes to some topics that I probably know more about than most people. Does it mean there aren't other people that know more and or other people who aren't good? And I'm going to try to get them on as guests. We're going to do a lot of different things, and we're going to have a lot of fun with this. So anyway, Darian is my editor, and Darian actually has been with me from the start of YouTube. He was my first one. I started YouTube myself, and he actually emailed me and said, hey, looks like you need an editor. Couldn't afford him. Said, yeah, come with me, but listen, if this thing takes off, you're going to be with me forever. You're going to have a career. You're going to make a lot of money when we end this thing. And he's been with me, and he's learned a lot. Peter has taught him well. The kid is young, and he became very business orientated pretty quickly. I love his opinion. He's 22 years old. So he's 22 years old, and I love his opinion. And it's important because I have somewhat of a young audience, and his opinion means a lot because he's that key demographic, if you want to call it that. Then we also have my son. My son runs my social media. He runs Instagram and all that kind of stuff. He's going to be doing more with Facebook and everything else. And Darian and him run TikTok and all this kind of stuff, which we do have everything. And so one of the great joys of my life is working with my son now. I'm hoping my daughter opens her eyes and comes work with us as well. Because there's nothing more rewarding than to be working with your son who you missed so many years of his life. When I went to prison, my son was just turned 7. I went to prison in December, December 2nd, I think it was. My son turned 7 November 30th, 3 days later. I'm in prison for the next dozen years. I went away in 96. I got out in 2007. So I was away for 11 straight years, over a decade. During probably one of the most innovative times in technology there was. I'll get into stories about that as well. I am talking about during no iPhones, the internet was just really coming about in 96. You know, modems, and they didn't have Google and all the shit they have today. And they didn't even have YouTube or anything like that. And I went to prison in 96. And when I got out, it was a different fucking world. I remember getting out. You know, I was ready to get out. I mean, minute, you know, days or whatever it was. And guys had coming in, new kids. And I'm like a new guy saying, well, I can't wait to get out. Wonder what it's like that. And they're telling me about the internet. And I'm going, yeah, like, what do you mean? Like, because there was no internet where you can just type something and get all the information in the world. You couldn't do that. It was nothing like that. So what it was like was, I'm sitting asking questions, and they go, oh, man, Larry, where do you see porn? Like porn, when I say porn, I mean pornography. You know, regular porn that we all watch. You porn is Howard Stern called, loves you porn, Pornhub, RedTube, all of that stuff. We all, listen, I don't know many people who don't watch porn in some capacity or another. I mean, it's normal. It's probably not normal to not watch it. Back when I was a kid, we used to, get the Playboy books out of our dad's closet. Then they came, you know, when you got older, we had a VCR. And you went to the Blockbuster, and they even had a back room, which was all the Triple X videos. So that was pretty good. Oh, that's good. And so what happened was... I asked him in the internet here. He's telling me all about the internet. He goes, Larry, he goes, it's nothing like you remember. What do you mean? I don't even remember the internet. We had AOL, you know, you've got mail. That was a big deal back when I went to prison. And I'm talking to like 95, 96 when shit was really, just coming out. And he goes, no. You could just go in and there's a thing called Google. You type in a porn site. I go, okay, what do you mean a porn site? He goes, all the videos you watched, Larry, when you were younger, and even, you know, when you bought at VCR stores or whatever you did, he goes, they're online. So you just hit a button and watch them, and you could watch just a scene of them, or you could watch this. I go, and I wasn't understanding what this was all about yet. You got to remember, I never saw this at this point. So here I am. I'm in there waiting to get out. And he goes, oh, yeah. Like, if you like, you know, mom's fucking husband's under trees, you can literally type that into a Google or a search on that site. And they're going to come up with videos of that. You have blowjobs in a car. You know, you can actually type that in and then watch videos of girls giving blowjobs in cars. And I'm going, this is crazy. You're kidding me. So I was really in shock. You want to talk about getting out of prison? When I got out of prison, it was like, holy shit. I mean, I couldn't even buy a cup of coffee. People know that. And what I mean by that is I was what they call, I had sensory overload. I couldn't look at a sign with 20, 30 choices and make the choice. It's called sensory overload. I was institutionalized as much as I thought I wasn't. I used to read the USA Today paper. My dad used to send me that every day. You know, I got me a subscription. And I used to, you know, listen to it every single day, read the paper, and think I know what was going on. I used to watch, they had four TVs in the day area, and or TV rooms, depending on the prison we were at. And you'd watch TV, and you'd, not that you could get stations or shows you want, but they'd put it on news, they'd put something on sports, and so you got to watch a little stuff, and you thought you knew your shit. Let me tell you, people, the biggest shock in the world is walking outside of prison after being in it for over a decade. And let me give you why. The average person today, you and I right now, the guys listening to this, people listening to this, the women, you will make approximately 1,500 choices today. That's what you're going to make, approximately. And what happens is, when you're in prison, you make about 100 choices a day. There's no what you're going to wear, where you're going to go to eat, where you're going to stop, you're going to get gas, you're going to pick up a Gatorade and a paper, you're going to read it. There is none of that. You are institutionalized. You make 100 choices a day, give or less. When you're in the hole, there's no choices. You know, the food comes at a certain time. You eat it. That's it. You don't wear something. There's no clothes to put on. There's no things to do. There's no things to watch. There's no cars to drive. You are institutionalized. And anybody who says they're not is fucked up. They just don't know it. And that's the sad part, actually. So I totally, you know, want to open people's eyes. And now that I have my son working with me in social media and going to prison in when he was 7 years old, and my daughter was 15 months old, my daughter. That's it, 15 months old. I look back now, my daughter's 20, well, she'll be 26 at the end of the month, and my son is going to be 32 at the end of November. Wow, time does fly. I'm getting old, man, but I actually feel pretty good, so that's a good sign as well. But I also wanted to introduce my son, like I said, and he is amazing, and I'm super close with him, and he has two children, and then my grandkids, so I love them dearly. One is named after me, he's the third, Lawrence Robert Lawton the third, and I have my granddaughter Juliana, and they are the, you know, I guess the apples of dad's eyes. And I just came back from a kind of a family reunion in Georgia, in a place called Creek Fire. Great place too. It's an RV resort with a lazy river and pool and bar and restaurant and camping. And I have an RV, so I do that. And I actually do videos in my RV. But anyway, I did that for 5 days with family, and it was one of the best things I ever did. And now, obviously, I'm back working and stuff of that nature. But, you know, thinking about my son, and then of course I hope my daughter someday comes. She works as a bartender down in South Florida in the Fort Lauderdale area, and I love going down to see her as well. But I hope she just, you know, someday says, Daddy, I really want to learn this business, and I want to help and work and grow it and do what we're doing. And then we have Teresa is my, I guess, right hand person. Teresa is amazing. I couldn't do so many things without her. She helps take care of my mom, helps take care of the house and the office, and she answers phones and emails, and she does so much that it's hard to give her a job description. Like, Darian's an editor and graphics guy. My son is social media. Peter manages everything, the business end of everything. And Teresa just does so much, and I have to say, without her, it would be really, really rough to do what I do and have the time to do what I do, and the care and the love she sends to my mom and my family and me and everybody else is genuine. It's true. It's something that, you know, I take probably for granted, and I shouldn't, but I, you know, we're all human. And I try to do as much as I can with her as far as helping her out and you know, maneuvering hours. We really have no hours here. I love that. You know, this business, the podcast, YouTube, all that, it's not a 9-to-5 business, everybody. Period. It's not. It's a forever fucking business and all the time business. I do videos at 1 in the morning, 10 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, a live Instagram, this, whatever. It's all the time, never ending. It's very, very hard for me. You know, people, my son always jokes me. He says, Dad, you're always going somewhere. But I'm never off, if that makes sense to most people. I'm always thinking about a next video. I'm always looking at a thing to do when I'm on the road or whatever it is. It's really not off. I can't disconnect like Darian, my editor, can, or my son can, or Peter can. I can't. It's just something, one, in me. Ultimately, it's on me to do the right thing, put out some good content, make sure, although that's a team effort. Don't anybody kid you. It's a major team effort. I might be the voice of this, and I might be the face of YouTube, and I do have the decisions, and I do make them, and I do try to do everything I can for the betterment of the guys, you guys, the fans, the followers, the subscribers, everybody who's doing all this. I try to do it so I can open eyes, I can educate myself, I become more worldly. I follow a lot of good YouTubers and podcasters, from Joe Rogan to Mr. Beast to Dobrik, whoever it is, just to see how they're doing it, see what makes them click, what makes their videos good. Why do I get attracted to them, you know? And there's obviously certain things we'll talk about and a lot of things that I do that I totally do enjoy doing. So I think it's going to be fun, this podcast. So, I mean, it's me talking, it's rambling. And the only topic in this one I'm going to talk quickly about is the pot. And I want it legalized federally. It should be legalized federally. It's a disgrace that there's people in prison for it today that shouldn't be, and they got crazy life sentences and shit. You know, people ask me, you know, that's why I didn't like Kamala Harris. What do you like her or not? I didn't like her because she didn't do the right thing by criminals or inmates when she had information in California. She had information of people who were either wrongfully convicted or questionably convicted. And she sat on it, didn't do shit. It was all about politics, and that irked me, and it still irks me. I hope she's changed. You know, people said, do you give her a chance? Do you think people change? I do, and I hope she does or did or will. Just like people also talked about when I kind of went off on CNN and the commentators, and I forget the three of them. One was Van Jones, and they were talking about how Derek Chauvin didn't get enough time when he got 22 and a half years, which I am the only YouTuber or podcaster who actually called the number on the button, how much time he would get beforehand on my channel the day before his sentence on a Friday. A video came out Thursday. In that video, I said, I think he's going to get 22 and a half years. Why? I read the case. I read the upwards and downwards departures, and I really did a lot of research on the case, and I called that number. It was funny. People used to say or comment and said, Larry, I wonder if the judge listened to your video. And I got a kick out of that, and never know. But I will tell you what, the judge did the right thing. And the commentators online on CNN, I happen to have that one on, I don't know why, and they were talking about, oh, how that's unjust, it's not enough time, all this shit. Bullshit. Not one of them up there were in federal prison or stayed in fucking federal prison, and not one of them know what's going to happen to him in prison. They can think they know. They don't. I do. And, oh, this, oh, he's going to only do 15 years. How the fuck do they know that? That's bullshit. How do they know that? There's so much to getting all your time off, your good time. This Derek Chauvin is going to have one of the toughest times in the joint, whether it's isolation, whether it's harassment from guards or from administrative staff or inmates or whatever. He's got no cakewalk. No, anybody, I don't care what you read, what you're going to hear. Anybody who tells different is bullshit and doesn't know the system. How's that? Now, I'll debate that with anybody sitting at this desk right now. So that's bullshit, and I want to make that clear. Well, I called it 22 and a half years. But as the Real Deal podcast, I also called out, it was Van Jones and whoever else was up there, because they were fucking going off how it wasn't enough, and he was getting out 15, and they know all this shit. Oh, there's other people who got more time for less. You can't do that. You cannot do that. My mom used to get mad that, why did I get four 12-year sentences and child molesters get 5 years? Why? Anybody think that's justifiable? Fuck no. I don't think you do out there. I doubt you do. Because anybody who molests a kid or does something against a child should fucking get, you know, don't get me going on that topic. It's a tough one for me. And we'll get into that here on this podcast. But so you can't say, oh, because the average sentence for second degree involuntary murder, second degree involuntary murder, second degree, is the average sentence is about 15, 17 years, not 22 and a half years. They gave him the upward departure. I mean, I read that. You can go look at that video, and it's called Derek Chauvin's Case. You can just look up Derek Chauvin on my YouTube, and you can see both videos, the one I did before he was sentenced and the one I did after when I went off on CNN and stuff. You'll see that video as well, and you'll understand my point of view, I think. Well, anyway, I think I rambled enough for today. You're going to be getting these videos. Please put your notification on. Do what you got to do. Every Monday and Friday, I will have a video out, podcast out at 2 p.m. And I think these podcasts are going to be great. They're going to be a way for me to release tension, bring guests in. Now, they're different than my YouTube channel. So I will have different stuff in the YouTube. Obviously, there are videos reviews and GTA and interviews. So I'm going to be doing those as well and not stopping those at all because I love YouTube. And I'm going to keep doing these podcasts because I actually think I have a little bit more leeway, a little bit more, what the fuck's Larry going to say today? Because Larry will be all over the place. That's just the way Larry is. And everybody knows me. I hope you like that. I really do. Please, you can email me anytime. Just go to this fans@LarryLawtonJewelThief.com. It's LarryLawtonJewelThief.com. fans@LarryLawtonJewelThief.com. Or go on to any one of my YouTube videos and just go to the About page, and it'll tell you where you can send for content suggestions and not. I'll probably end up giving it out, my email and stuff. But you can start there. You'll definitely get to me. Let me give it right off the bat. My email is Larry@RealityCheckProgram.com. That's Larry@RealityCheckProgram.com. If you want to send me an email, a story, if you don't mind, if you send me something there, I might read it online here or on the air here. If you don't mind, so please understand that. I'd like to do that and help people understand what's really going on in this world. And maybe we could change lives together. And that's what the whole goal of all of this is going to be. So, like I says, hit notify, hit like, give me some love, pass this around. Let's make this one of the better podcasts out there. I love podcasts. I love YouTube. And I want to be part of it all, and I need your help. So please subscribe, follow, do whatever you got to do. Shoot me emails, do anything you can, and we will be doing more of this. Have a great day, everybody. I really love it, and make sure that you and pass the word on what we are doing. Take care, everybody. Larry Lawton with the Real Deal Podcast right here on your favorite podcast platform. Have a great day, everybody. Take care.